Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't he wonderful?
Amen.
Delightful?
Amen.
Worthy of all our love?
Amen.
Should we not open our being to him today?
Amen.
And pray, Lord, work yourself into us.
Amen.
Make your home in my heart.
Amen.
We saw in the first message that God's eternal purpose to have a corporate expression of himself is carried out by man made in his image and given dominion to represent him. The first man failed in this, so the second man came and personally fulfilled God's intention for the first man. Then on the cross, he crucified the old man, and in himself, he created one new man.
Amen.
Where Christ is all and in all, and where Christ is the person making home in our heart and living in us. The goal of the Lord's recovery is the bringing forth of the one new man in full development, in quality, if not in quantity, so that God's purpose will be fulfilled, the bride will be prepared, and then the way will be open for the Lord, the King, our bridegroom, to return. In this one new man, Christ is the constituent. He is the essence, the element which is mingled with our redeemed and uplifted humanity. And through the process of God's organic salvation, little by little, our entire being inwardly is constituted with the all-inclusive Christ. As a result, Christ is all, and that there is nothing and no one other than him occupying us. And also Christ is in all, because we still remain here as redeemed persons in Christ. If we are to live this out, we need to take Christ as our person. And this matter of taking is not a passive thing. We exercise our spirit and allow the Lord gladly to live in us. A simple matter, a basic matter, that by the Lord's mercy is part of my daily living. Of course, I learned it from those who have gone before, is this. The spirit, meaning the regenerated human spirit, the mingled spirit, is within the heart. And we cannot exercise our spirit properly unless and until we turn our heart to the Lord. Therefore, every morning, one of my first prayers is, Lord, I turn my heart to you. I open my heart to you. Then we can touch the Lord in our spirit through our opened and loving heart. The issue of seeing the new man in God's purpose and in the Lord's recovery, and of experiencing Christ as the constituent and taking Christ as our person for the living of the new man, is the church life. Practicing the church life in local churches according to God's ordination. This is not a message on what we call the ground of the church, but I need to say something, especially for those who might be hearing this for the first time. If anyone is clear about what the church is, it's the Lord Jesus. In Matthew 16, in response to Peter's revelation received from the Father and declared by him, he said, "I will build my church." This is the church universal, the one body of Christ that will be the new man. And the Lord is building, according to this greatest of all prophecies, his church. In the same gospel, in Matthew 18, he teaches the brothers that in certain matters that cannot be resolved through certain levels of fellowship, you should tell it to the church. This clearly is something practical, local, available, the church. In this age, the church universal is expressed as and is built up in local churches. I said the Lord Jesus is more clear than anyone about the church. Consider the book of Revelation. He tells John what you see, write in a scroll, and send it to the seven churches. This is the Lord. Then the Lord names seven cities. Then he indicates in verse 20 of Revelation 1, the lampstands, they are the seven churches. Then when the Lord himself speaks to the messenger of each church, he links the city with church, to the messenger of the church in Ephesus, to the messenger of the church in Smyrna. There really is no room for argument. It's so clear that in the New Testament, the practice of the church was local. No matter how many thousands of believers there might have been in a city, in a church such as Jerusalem, Acts 8:1 speaks of the church in Jerusalem. Acts 13 of the local church, and the Greek expression requires that translation to be accurate, the local church in Antioch. Acts 14:23 speaks of appointing elders in every church. But Titus 1:5, I think it is, speaks of appointing elders in every city. So every church equals every city. So in simple Bible mathematics, Acts 14, 23 plus Titus 1:5 equals Revelation 1:11. So when we talk about practicing the church life, we mean the actual practical church life in the cities where we live. Meeting on the ground of the oneness of the body of Christ, living in the universal fellowship of the body of Christ, and having one goal universally to build up the body of Christ and to consummate the new man. We will spend adequate time on the outline practicing the church life in the consciousness of the one new man. But before we come to this, and actually leading up to this, I have a very particular burden that in faithfulness to the Lord I need to present. And it may be a supply to you. My prayer is that it will be. And I would introduce it this way. According to the books of Colossians and Philemon in particular, the church life is not simply a matter on the surface of believers assembling together, worshiping together, serving together, taking care of one another, enjoying the Lord together, announcing the gospel together. It's all of these things. But Paul, in several verses, and I'll read them to you, uses a very tender and endearing expression. Inward parts. Inward parts. Referring to the deepest and most tender personal feelings. The depth of a person. And we'll see from the scriptures that a church life that is the living of the one new man by taking Christ as our person and being constituted with him is a church life in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. We have read Colossians 3, 10 and 11, maybe four times. And at the end of 11, Christ is all and in all. Then in verse 12, we have the beginning of the living out of this. And look what Paul says, put on therefore as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, inward parts. We are told in verse 10 to put on the new man. And in verse 11, we see that here in this new man, there cannot be the usual human distinctions. But Christ is all and in all. When someone actually lives in the way of putting on the new man and of being constituted with Christ, taking him as the person, what does it look like? What is lived out? What is expressed in the relationships among the saints? And I find it very significant that Paul begins with, put on inward parts. If Christ is our person more and more, and if we are being constituted with him more and more, a very deep intercommunion between us and the Lord will develop. On the one hand, we will live in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. We know this because of Philippians 1:8. Remember, Paul is the one who was breathing out murder. What kind of inward parts did he have? What was filling his inward parts? Indescribably wicked. But he says, I long after you all in the inward parts of Christ Jesus. The Bible, perhaps more in typology than in letter, refers to Christ's inward parts. In Exodus 12, when the people were charged to eat the entire lamb, They were not allowed to be selective. They would eat the head and the legs and the inward parts. Some of us may be selective even with the ministry, even with Christ. We're men of the head, and so we like more head, more truth, more thoughts, more deep thoughts. Others, they're very active, so they're inclined to the legs. So they eat more legs and they move without too much thought. And then there's the inward parts. And some saints, by their makeup, they're inclined to this way. They don't have much understanding. They really don't take any practical action. But my, are they ever deep in their personal feelings? So the whole Christ that we apply in the church life, even as the in his redemptive life, has inward parts. And according to the description of the offerings in Leviticus, the inward parts were reserved for God himself. And in Isaiah 50, Christ's inward parts received instruction from God the Father, morning by morning. That if we are to know the Lord in fullness, we need to know him by being in his inward parts. What kind of mutual indwelling is this? That our Lord, our Savior, would open himself up to us to such a degree that we could live in his deep personal feelings about God's purpose, about Israel, about the human race, and especially about the church. So on the one hand, we live in Christ's inward parts. On the other hand, according to the principle of coherence, mutual indwelling, Christ lives in our inward parts, in the deepest part of our being, the most tender part, the most personal part. The seeker in Song of Songs, I forgot to mention, in chapter 5, verse 14, is responding to the question raised by others, what's so special about your beloved? So right away, she can speak in detail. And eventually, she speaks of that his belly is like ivory work with the appearance of sapphire. And that symbolizes Christ's inward parts, where he experienced much suffering to produce the ivory under the heavenly atmosphere. So Paul, in Philippians 1:8, is longing after the saints, not in his own natural human feeling, but in Christ's feelings for the members of his body and the parts of the new man. Then our brother Paul is instructing us that if we are to live the life of the one new man, we need to put on inward parts. That our relationship with the Lord needs to reach the point where we allow him to enter the depth of our being, to the most guarded and protective part, to our deepest personal feelings, and allow the Lord to come there and make himself one with us on this level, so so that what he feels, we feel, what we feel, he feels. And if we are to put on the new man, we're not just putting on an essence or a nature that has no expression. When we put it on, it's inward parts of compassion. Compassion itself has its source deep in our being. Kindness, lowliness, meekness, long-suffering. I don't know what our concept might have been to see the new man lived out. We know, of course, you know, he's the warrior. There's no doubt. But in the daily church life, we're not like walking around clanking our armor, brandishing our weapons. That we do need to live an ordinary domestic church life. And look what Paul tells us. Then he goes on, bearing one another and forgiving one another. If anyone should have a complaint against anyone, even as the Lord forgave you, so also you should forgive. It doesn't mention here, well, you don't have to forgive if the brother doesn't say he's sorry. You just forgive if you're aware that there's something you need to forgive. You forgive. And verse 14, and over all these things put on love, which is the uniting bond of perfectness. Then let the peace of Christ arbitrate in your hearts, to which you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. All this is inward. But it begins with inward parts. I do thank the Lord for his amazing sovereignty in everything. I knew inwardly, and I was preparing inwardly to speak along this line. Then in two lines of reading early this morning, I read Song of Songs, chapter 5, verse 14, and I was drawn to the note on belly, Christ's inward parts. The lover appraises him for what he is in his inward parts. And then I was in Genesis. And the notes, they're so helpful to open the word. Here is Jacob beginning a new phase of his spiritual life, being matured. So that is the title of that subsection. And it begins with Joseph's dreams and the reaction of the brothers to the dreams. And even Jacob rebuked Joseph. Do you mean we're all going to bow down before you? And then the Bible says, and Jacob kept this in his heart. This is very significant. Then you know the story. The brothers hated Joseph. They wanted to nullify his dreams. First thought was to kill him. Eventually, they sold him into slavery. And what kind of feeling did they have for their father when they killed a lamb, dipped the coat of many colors in the blood, and then bring it to the father as if they are the prosecution in court? Consider, father, is this, whose coat this is? Consider this. Then they left everything to his inference. It's Joseph's coat. It has the blood. A wild beast has devoured him. This event opened Jacob's being to the depth, because he still had some preferential feeling for Joseph. That was the son through his beloved Rachel. And this preferential feeling indicated lack of maturity. To be transformed is to experience a metabolic change in the natural life. To be matured is to be filled with the divine life that transforms us. And so after the initial trauma and shock, Jacob enters into a deep silence. And Brother Lee's expression is, he became an open jar, because his deep personal feelings were now being touched. And for 20 years, remember, he kept this in his heart. Because the mind works after the initial shock. You say, we're not sure he's dead. There's no so-called closure. They never found the body. And what about his dreams? I had a reaction to his dreams, but wasn't there something of God there? I believe that was something of God. So the matter was never resolved in his being. Only God can create an inward situation like this. And he only does it to his chosen, to his seekers, because this is a very deep, touching, painful, yet sweet period in your life. Whenever Jacob would even think of Joseph, the pain would hit him. And the response is to open. God sometimes does this. May we not be stumbled at his way. He touches the depth of you, and he doesn't allow you to have so-called closure on a human level. There's this element of uncertainty, and that just caused Jacob to open deeply. Remember, in spiritual significance, Joseph is the reigning aspect of the matured life seen in Jacob. And there's a connection between this part of Genesis and the one new man, because when Jacob is mature, he bears the image. And when he is mature, Joseph reigns. That's dominion. So this is 126 lived out there. We know from Ephesians 4 that the new man must become full grown. That's maturity. The Lord's recovery in Europe, as elsewhere, needs at least a few more Jacobs on the stage of being matured. The future really depends on them. They will open the way experientially to the maturation of the new man. There is a minimum age, according to Exodus 30, with the type of the propitiation silver, to be in the army. A minimum level of maturation. If we don't reach this, there can't be an army. Then the new man cannot yet fulfill the dominion part of his commission. So Jacob, in his maturation, shows a person filled to overflowing in his being with the divine life, with no part reserved for the self. And God, in his wisdom, measured out 20 years of uncertainty, because certainty would have brought a closing of the vessel. You understand me? Then you just can say, now I can put it behind me. But this way you cannot. And you can call out to God for clarification, and you get a response, but it's not clarification. It's dispensing. You get God himself. I know you want an answer. I appreciate what Augustine said somewhere. I'm not that familiar with him, but I remember this. I like this. He said, Lord, if I had to choose between having the answer to my questions and having you, I choose you, Lord. See, just like you, I've got my deep questions. Here's my hope and here's my thought, just for fellowship. The hope is that when we see the Lord and I'm with the Lord, I'll get the answer to my questions. My thought is, when we're with the Lord and I see the Lord, I'll forget the questions. But I'm not letting them go just yet. So Paul reached this stature. By the time he's writing Colossians, this is after the riot in Jerusalem and the turbulence and the 2 years in Caesarea, the voyage. Now he's in prison at the very peak of his ministry. And he's pointing us in the direction that if you take Christ as your person and your life and your constituent, you will need to put on inward parts. Now let's just spend a little time in Philemon. And Philemon was a leading one in Colossae. So the saints mentioned here are Colossians. And the church life, that's the background for this epistle, is Colossae. And Paul is still in prison when he wrote this. And the occasion of his writing was that a slave named Onesimus had run away from Philemon, his master. How he got from Colossae to Rome alive, and how he got to see Paul, maybe that story will come out in the kingdom. I'm inclined to think so. But that was a capital offense. Slaves had no rights. A master could kill a slave with impunity. But Paul, this is his word, he begets him while in prison. And he has the feeling, because he's living in Christ's inward parts, to send him back to Philemon as a brother, to receive him as a beloved brother. And the entire epistle is written from within Paul's inward parts. Well, how do we know? Verse 7. For I had much joy and encouragement over your love, because the inward parts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. Now, how would Paul know this? How can you even become aware of this? You can know this and become aware of this because this is where you are. You're living in the inward parts of Christ, and Christ is living in your inward parts. And you know that here we need to be refreshed. I do hope that some of you will depart from here with a sense of freshness in your inner being. This has been refreshed. I can go on. There's a future. And this is quite a commendation when he says the inward parts of the saints have been refreshed through you. Interesting. Not by you, but through you. The by always has to be the indwelling Christ as the Spirit, but through you. So the impact of Philemon's being on others was to refresh their inward parts. One of the things we suffer temporarily in the practical church life is sort of like you've been in an amusement park. You know, when I was a boy, I liked the Dodge'em cars. You just get in there with these bumper cars and you're just having a good time bumping into each other. Well, most of the time, the Dodge'em cars in the church life are okay. But sometimes our being hurts someone else's being. Just what we are hurts them. But here is a brother through whom the inward parts of the saints were refreshed. Then in verse 12, Paul says, him I have sent back to you, him that is my very heart. And there's a note on very, telling us literally bowels, inward parts, inward affection, tenderheartedness, and compassion. Paul's inward affection and compassions went with Onesimus to Philemon. This is where Paul's living. When he tells us to put on inward parts of compassion, he's expressing what he is, where he lives. For the long run, like your whole life, both married life and church life requires a lot of tenderness, sweet, endearing affection in Christ, compassion, kindness, meekness, lowliness, all capped with love, the nature of God's essence, the inner substance of God. Isn't this precious, brothers and sisters? So Saul of Tarsus breathing out murder, thoroughly gained by the Lord to the depths of his being. For a man, that is a male, to be gained by Christ to this depth is rare. The sisters are generally deeper by nature and more likely to touch this realm, at least in the natural life. But many males, we have armor covering, we have a defense system, we've got no entrance, we've got detour signs, we've got blockades, we've got landmines, we've got fortifications, we've got all kinds of security systems. that we built in order to survive in a godless world. You can't walk around with your being open. You'll be ripped to shreds. Well, the Lord has to gain some to this depth. So let me just tell you, some of you already have sensed this. In my portion of the ministry, carried on by many, this is where my heart is. We must reach this level. The way needs to be opened by the principle of incarnation for the saints to mature. I think of a classic message in the life study of Philippians entitled The Better Choice of Paul, where Paul is saying that if it's up to me, I'd rather depart and to be with Christ. We know he had been caught away to paradise. He heard things there he couldn't utter. He knew what was there. He said, I would rather go and be with Christ. But it's better that I remain for your progress and joy in the faith. Because he was a channel through which others could advance. When the Lord decided to open up the Russian-speaking world, he didn't simply send workers there. He sent a brother like our beloved brother Benson to be a channel through which the Lord could open a vast territory. So Paul, personally preferring to be released from all of this. In Philippians, it's hard to tell whether he's happy or sorrowful. He says, rejoice, I tell you to rejoice. But then he said, I'm so thankful that God had mercy on Epaphroditus and on me, lest I have sorrow upon sorrow. But he said, for your progress and joy, I will remain. You look at that life study message. Brother Lee said, there are whole countries where no one is able to enjoy the all-inclusive Christ because there's no channel there. How good for saints that are in their senior years, who are retired from their professions, to come over here to Europe, get a little apartment, open their heart, open their home, and just be a channel. I'm looking at you. How sweet. What a glorious consummation of a life in the church life. Because the new man must mature, and for our actual experience, some have to be channels. And we have a fierce enemy. We shouldn't be overly concerned, but some need to be praying preemptive, protective, binding prayers to preserve the actual lives of these channels. Because it takes decades to produce them. And once they are here, it's better that they remain. So this is the very heart of the church life in the consciousness of the one new man. When we are in the inward parts of Christ Jesus, then spontaneously we realize I'm part of something corporate. I'm part of a corporate person. Concerning life, I have the consciousness of the body. I'm a member. I'm in the fellowship of the body. One member suffers, I'm suffering. Not I should, I just am. Now, there's an influx of life coming in. Where did that come from? It comes from the body. Then regarding the new man, when we take Christ as the person, And he enters and lives in our inward parts, and we live in his inward parts. Then everything we do in our church life is with a consciousness that our local church of 10 saints in Uppsala, Sweden, is part of the one new man. And how we live here and what we do here is with this in view. Now we can read through the outline, and then there will be, look, I have 10:51. Methinks we'll have quite a lot of time for prophesying, maybe 40 minutes. That would be wonderful. But who knows what awaits as we go through the outline. Okay. Practicing the church life in the consciousness of the one new man. In Colossians 4:7-17, we have a practical illustration of the revelation of the one new man and of the consciousness of the one new man. There are many names given here, similar to Romans 16. And the function of Colossians 4 parallels that of Romans 16 in that it's a window into the actual practice of the church life. In Romans, of the body life, in Colossians, of the new man. Both the saints in Colossae and Paul and those with him were members of the one new man in actuality and had the consciousness of the one new man. So this is where they're having their church life, with the apostle taking the lead. Paul's word regarding the reading of letters proves that there was no difference between the church in Laodicea and the church in Colossae. His word implies fellowship, oneness, harmony, and intimate contact among the churches. And the Lord does this deliberately. He may impart something to your locality, and he may impart something to another locality. And the way for you to get that is the way of fellowship. If you wait until the Lord speaks to you directly, you can wait until the end of the age, and that's not going to happen. The Lord works this way to incite fellowship, oneness, harmony, and intimate contact among the churches. After you read this letter, he said, cause it to be read in Laodicea. And then you get the one from Laodicea. And in those days, they couldn't fax it. They couldn't scan it and send it on the smartphone. They had to actually travel there and cause the letter to be read and to get a copy of the letter from there and have it read. This is not a small thing. This is intimate contact. I believe something along this line is forming in Europe. When I was with the Nordic Brothers, I would say that was intimate contact. The fellowship with the brothers after the conference. It's not exclusive to Nordic countries, but that was the practical arrangement. But it leaves such a sweet sense within you, the contact among the churches. In spite of all the differences among nationalities, races, and classes, there was on earth in a practical way the one new man created in Christ Jesus. There were not merely local churches in various cities. There was the one new man in a real and practical way. And here I would point out another characteristic of practicing the church life in the consciousness of the one new man. And this is seen in the subject of the book of Philemon. It's so good to have a recovery version. The outline is there. You don't have to reinvent it. The subject has been crystallized. You don't have to search for it. And the subject is the equal status of the believers in the one new man. Some more liberal Bible scholars criticize Paul for not attacking the institution of slavery. Why shouldn't you rail against it, try to abolish it, lead an insurrection, be a social reformer, try to put those in power that will do away with it? Why did you tolerate it? Well, Paul, that was not his commission. Actually, he did something much more radical. He didn't touch the social system. He didn't tell Philemon, you should not be a master anymore. You shouldn't have slaves. He didn't say, Onesimus, I'm going to send you back. You're no longer a slave. Claim your rights. Claim back pay for all those extra hours that you put in. Where's benefits? He didn't touch it. But at a much deeper level, he joined the Lord to abolish all the differences so that with the one new man as the starting point when the Lord returns, he can bring in the kingdom and abolish every kind of social system. No money. Soon as you abolish money, you equalize everybody. I visited Cuba a few years ago. I got some education. And not too long after the communists took over, in one weekend, they changed the currency. And they only allowed a certain small amount of the previous currency to be exchanged. So by Monday morning, everyone was on the same level. You have a millionaire, you have all of this money, you got the green, whatever it is. And the government says you have to exchange it. So they think, oh, I'll exchange it. They go to the money changer and the government says, no, just $500. That's all. You cannot, and you can't go anywhere else. So everything is leveled in that kind of outward way. The answer to all the social problems, the intrinsic problems, is the kingdom. I remember after my first visit in 1981 to engage in a certain profitable activity for the saints, and after seeing the throngs of people, hardly any cars then, the streets were used as sidewalks, I could only go back to my room in Hong Kong and kneel down and weep for the dear people of China, and then realize only the kingdom can solve this. Only the kingdom. God is a God of righteousness. The kingdom will be an age of righteousness, and he will deal with every kind of injustice on every level. There won't be masters and slaves. There won't be this and that. But he does not want us to devote ourselves to social reform. He wants us to take his way to live out in the midst of the social system, the one new man where there are no distinctions. So it could be possible in a church that a slave like Onesimus has the function to be an elder, and a slave owner like Philemon does not have this portion. So in the church, He needs to be in subjection in a proper way to Onesimus. And he has to be in subjection without saying, okay, but just wait till we get back home. Wait till we're home where I'm master and you're a slave. I'm going to get you then, man. Well, if he's feeling that, the Lord will come in and say, who's the person? There's one living at home. There's one living in the church. It's beautiful to see this. The equal status of the believers, in which everyone is on the same level. We differ in function. We have temporary differences to the degree of our growth in life. But a grandpa, when I get together with my son and his wife and their three children, it's clear about the age difference, but a grandpa is not superior as a person to his little granddaughter. So the differences in function and the differences due to relative growth in life do not open the way for a hierarchy to come in, for an in-group to come in, to a special exclusive spiritual circle to come in. We all have the same status. This is radical, more radical than any revolution in the last century. But it takes place within whatever social system or government. So on November 7th, probably we will know who the president will be, what a choice we have between a radical who condones infanticide and a Mormon. Wow, on a human level, what a choice. So I'm not going into the voting booth. I'm going to say, I vote for the throne. I do have feelings, so I'll express my feelings, but they're subject to the decision on the throne and whatever kind of government we have. However low is the approval rating of Congress, whatever is the situation, the trend. Now the president is for gay marriage. He evolved. We cannot, we're not here to reform. We're here to be the new man in the midst of it with the view this new man is going to bring the Lord back. Amen. And then everything will be changed. Amen. And one thing is for sure, when he comes back, we want to be right behind him. Amen. Right? And we want to be on the earth at that time. Amen. So the Lord has to level our being, so that in our consciousness, there's the one new man. Now this consciousness, I need to emphasize now, because we're coming to the next point, the consciousness of the new man, is an expression of Christ being our person and our life. And it's parallel to the consciousness of the body. Let me try to explain this. In our spirit, we have Christ as life. And this life is the life of the body. And this life has the consciousness of the body. But this consciousness is buried within the flesh, the self, and the natural constitution. So our consciousness is actually mainly related to things that connect with the self and our interests and our society and our culture and the way we were brought up and our identity and everything. So we cannot just make up our mind, I'll be conscious of the body from now on. I'll be conscious of the new man from now on. You will only realize I am conscious of trying to be conscious of something that I'm not aware of. It is by the growth in life, especially in the third stage of dealing with the flesh, the self, and the natural constitution, that the shell surrounding our inner man is broken through. And the Lord, who is making his home in our hearts, is spreading. And by his spreading, his feeling, his consciousness enters the faculties of our soul. So in our inner being, we have this realization all the time. I'm a member of the body. The life in me is not a member life. It's a body life. I cannot live without the fellowship. I cannot travel and serve if the saints do not pray. I cannot live without the body. I cannot minister without the body. I don't have to try to remember this. It's a consciousness. The same thing will happen with the new man, with Christ as the person. But this will be both deeper and higher. I'm a part of a corporate person. The decisions of this corporate person need to be something that reaches me personally. I'm part of this. And my personal living is part of this. But it's not a list of do's and don'ts as a behavior. And it's not something you can just make up your mind to have. Don't lament tomorrow morning. Beat yourself up. I'm not conscious of the body. I'm not conscious of the new man. Lord, I'm just terrible. You're not terrible. You just need to grow in life like everybody else. That if you think you might have the consciousness of the body, so you send me an email and you say, am I conscious of the body? Am I conscious of the new man? Okay, let me respond this way. I send you an email and I ask you, I'm not sure whether or not I'm married. Do I have the consciousness of being married? I mean, that would really be weird. Okay, if you have to ask if you're conscious of it, you're not. Because when you are, you don't ask. This is not easy to help the saints with after a meeting on Jacob and the breaking of the natural life. A dear middle-aged couple came up to me and asked, have we experienced a fundamental blow to our natural life, a breaking? Well, what can I say? If I say yes, I'd be lying. If I say no, they won't be helped. So I couldn't say anything. But the situation is, if you have to ask, it hasn't happened. Jacob doesn't have to ask Rachel, I've got this feeling in my hip. I mean, has my hip been dislocated? Rachel can say, look, dear, I can just tell by the weird way that you're walking that your hip has been dislocated. The point is, I tell the trainees this, it's almost like a proverb. Be what you are until you're different. And be where you are until you're somewhere else, by which I mean, don't pretend. My little granddaughter doesn't pretend to be as mature as her mother or her grandmother. But the Lord's recovery needs saints with this kind of consciousness. And that will affect their whole being. And they will impart this to others, and saints, as they're going through experiences, will just seek out these ones for fellowship. Okay, let's complete the outline and let's see if we can do this with allowing 40 minutes for prophesying. If we are conscious of the one new man, we will realize that all the local churches in the different countries are one new man. I heard from Paul Cook that there's some indication that we may have a testimony in Madagascar. How about that? Probably we don't go around thinking about Madagascar, but before too long, we're going to hear about, I don't know what city, there'll be a church there. There'll be saints there. We'll realize we're part of the same corporate person. All the churches are not merely individual local churches, but are the one new man. We cannot say that each local church is a new man. Rather, all the local churches on earth are the one new man. Some descending ones tried to advance the teaching to say we are a local body. Well, then that means you're also a local new man because the body is synonymous with the new man. But you cannot say that. It's ridiculous. Let's admit the local churches are part of the one new man. The one new man is a matter not merely of individual localities and individual churches, but of all the churches on earth corporately. Just imagine the power of this testimony. If all the hundreds, maybe thousands of local churches were led by brothers and served by sisters who have the consciousness of the new man. And when they pray as the new man and express the burden of the new man. What kind of prayers will these be? Binding, loosing. Prayers at the incense altar to carry out the administration of the universe through this kind of prayers. I'm looking forward to this. B, when the one new man has been brought into full existence, we will not speak of the differences between the churches or the jurisdiction and autonomy of the local churches. At that time, we all will be taking Christ as our person and living Christ. Thus, only Christ will be among us, and only Christ will be manifested. One person in the whole recovery. What of you? Not just one person in your local church, not just one person in Romania or in the UK or in Europe or in the US. One person in the whole recovery. Amen. Only Christ will be among us and only Christ will be manifested. If we take Christ as our person and as our life spontaneously, we will all speak the same thing. Then in a practical way, we will be the one man. A human being only has one mouth. In the one new man, the only person allowed to speak is the person of the new man. And that is Christ as our person. If we all take Christ as our person, and if he is the only one who can speak, we will all speak the same thing. Not because of outward conformity, but because there's only one person with one mouth. Paul is in this in Romans 15, 5 and 6. With one mind and one mouth, you may glorify God. See, among the churches in the Lord's recovery, there should be no, quote, nations. The local churches are not nations. They are the one new man. We do not care to have a little nation, an empire, in which we can be a little king. Rather, we care to be in the one new man. We must thoroughly regain Germany. Germany is not a nation belonging to any worker. Lord, gain Germany. Amen. We don't agree with any nations, any little kingdoms, any tribes, any clans. There's no such thing. We just care to be in the one new man. There should not be several works in the Lord's recovery. All the co-workers in all the regions should do the same one work for the unique body. Since the local churches are one new man, in deciding a matter in our local church, we need to consider the churches throughout the whole earth.
Amen.
Especially since what you decide, let's say you're going to build something, and someone suggests, let's have a bowling alley for the young people. Let's have trampolines. Let's have a basketball court. And while you're building that, saints are there with their smartphones, with their video recorders. Few things are local anymore. It goes viral. It goes universal. And then people have all kinds of feelings. Why are you doing that? This is really strange. Why don't you recognize this person has feelings? The body has a sense. Are you not part of the body, part of the new man? Then consider it. Decide a matter with this consciousness. This is a responsibility of the leading brothers. Don't just be local in your consciousness. Consider the churches throughout the whole earth. How will the churches in Taiwan feel? There's a lot of experience represented there on that island. We should have a regard for the brothers and sisters. Many times, just considering this will bring light to you. E, the churches will progress in the divine life to such an extent that eventually they will all be absolutely the same. And now this last section is such a fitting, almost inspiring conclusion. Today is the day to have a new man constituted of all the local churches, including all the saints as one in Christ, who is all in all. Today is the day. What is here in the Lord's recovery is nothing but Christ. And this Christ is all in all. This vision will rescue us from all things other than Christ. Wasn't it delightful to sing about the lovely henna flower? We were just riveted on him. In vineyards blossoming thou art. Incomparable thy beauty is. Oh, What a song. Lord, like a lovely henna flower. This is our Christ. He's all in all. The Lord intends to raise up his believers throughout all the world to seek him as never before. And when we seek him, we will see that what he wants is the one new man expressed in the local churches. I'm a witness of this fact. When you pray, Lord, cause the desire of your heart to become the desire of my heart. And when you pray, Lord, make my heart a duplication of your heart in every possible way. If you seek the Lord along this line, then what is in his heart will be what is in your heart. And this will make a huge difference. You are one with the Lord in what he desires, what he wants. The Lord wants the one new man expressed in the local churches. This is what he wants. When we are in his inward parts and he is in our inward parts, we know his deep feeling, and his deep feeling becomes our deep feeling. Then we can really pray. We will have the prayer of John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you want, whatever you wish, whatever you desire, and it shall be done. Because you are one with me. This is what he wants. This will be the ultimate church life. A universal new man taking Christ as the person and living out Christ. This will conclude this age, usher in the kingdom, and bring the Lord back.
Amen.
This is the word of the ministry. This is not my own utterance. I'm standing here by the Lord's mercy and grace saying, I believe every syllable in this statement. This will be the ultimate church life. A universal new man taking Christ as the person and living out Christ. This will conclude this age. This will usher in the kingdom. And this will bring the Lord back.
Amen.
O Lord,
Amen.
Perfect the new man.
Amen.
As the preparation of the bride.
Amen.
So that you may come back.
Amen.
I believe the way is clear. The Lord has opened his heart to us.
Amen.
He wants one new man.
Amen.
Where Christ is all and in all.
Amen.
Lived out in all the local churches.
Amen.
This will end the age.
Amen.
This will bring in the kingdom.
Amen.
And this will bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Let us live for this.
Amen.
Abandon every other interest.
Amen.
To the all-inclusive Christ.
Amen.
To allow him to work himself into our being, to saturate us, to permeate us, till we live in his inward parts and he lives in our inward parts. And all over the earth, one person will be formed. One person will be manifested. One person will be speaking. The universal new man will be here. What a shame to the enemy. Enemy, get ready for the biggest shame you've ever experienced until now.
Amen.
The new man is coming forth.
Amen.
This word will not return void.
Amen.
The Lord will do this.
Amen.
He is doing it now.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Take us on.
Amen.
Take all the churches in Europe on.
Amen.
Take all the churches on earth on.
Amen.
Under the vision of the one new man.
Amen.
Lord, be our person.
Amen.
Be everything to us.
Amen.
May we live you.
Amen.
Manifest you.
Amen.
Make us the warrior.
Amen.
To deal with your enemy.
Amen.
To fight for your interests.
Amen.
Then make us the bride to love you back.
Amen.
We will love you so much.
Amen.
In the maturity of life.
Amen.
You will have to come back.
Amen.
Lord, you're waiting for this. You're smiling on us for this.
Amen.
You are eager for this.
Amen.
We have one desire with you.
Amen.
Make us the same as you.
Amen.
In the maturity of life.
Amen.
So that this age will end.
Amen.
The kingdom will come.
Amen.
And you will return.
Amen.
With this in our heart.
Amen.
We say, come Lord Jesus.
Amen.